Actually, you will report to the profession and the community at large. Let's wait for that time.
Kevin spoke to one of my neighbors, and I was busy holding a jersey.
Yeah, where's Mama Bull?
In front of my stomach.
Yeah, where's Mama Bull? Morning, Mama Bull.
I don't know if she stops the conversation and goes, cool, but you've lost weight. I'm like, serious?
Mama Bull or Olimpopo?
No, I don't know.
No, no, I'll do that, Shepherdson. I'm on official meeting now for Atom.
No, it's not me. It's your friend, Honorable Mchongo. It's not me.
Yeah, I'm Mchongo, Seb. Whatever, fathers.
Yeah,
I'm born and know.
Yeah. It's better. You're not in your pajamas.
Aye, no, I'm not. Sure.
Sure.
Jabu. Mr. Siabe Ukona.
She, yeah.
Who's that?
I'm eventually connected. Thank you, Veronica van Dijk.
Okay, thank you so much. Malomane. Siabe.
Ma'am, we'll start exactly at 12 o'clock. Is that okay? You're going to be on time today.
Sometimes we are behaving like a young somebody. We are not young.
But ma'am, I am still young. You know I'm still young.
You are young at heart. You are young at heart.
No, Chairperson, this is just, I dyed this grey, you know, I'm growing this now just to get ready for the cold, and I dyed it grey, you know, I'm still blonde and young. Did you know, Mama Beauty, that we as Parliament actually do have a cricket team as well?
I know.
Honorable Bergman is our chairperson of our cricket club. We were going to tour to England beginning of the year, and that tour fell through, so we didn't go at all.
Hoping that this epidemic will be over. We are hoping that. Jabu,
Jamu. Jamu. Jamu.
Jamu.
I want to start, if you can tell us how many we are.
I will do that, Chairperson.
Okay, so?
We have Chairperson Ms. Lulane, we have Ms. Adams, we have Mr. Msongo, we have Ms. Malumane, we have Mr. Faba, we have Mr. Madlingozi, we have Mr. Siabi, and we also have Ms. Van Dijk. We have an apology from Ms. Dr. Kabani.
Thank you, Mazo. Can now give me a chance and mute all other mics that I must open the meeting.
Yes, Chairperson.
Good morning, honorable members, and our guests. Today we are hosting you, the Cricket South Africa. But before that, this is a month which is very important to our history, the June month. June is a youth month. We mute everyone. Go and Jabu. We can't have this. No one must talk as from now onwards. We must operate like that. If they don't speak themselves, we must do that. What is going on? Jabu and Zoe. You must mute everyone. I'm opening the meeting, but I'm still hearing people talking.
Okay, Chef.
Okay. I'm saying June is the youth month. We must keep the spirit going. Those young leaders, if not dark and faded, but their spirit will always have with us. I'm suspecting that there's no one who's born in South Africa that doesn't know what happened in 1976. It was then we're still just young, not young at heart, and we're part of those struggles. It has been 44 years since then, which they were brutally murdered by the past regime. We salute their spirit and recommit to serve our people with dedication and has a spirit. Today we are... No, we can't go on like this. Who is talking?
There's a noise behind, coming out.
No. Honor Madlingos, please switch off your mic.
I'm full of the noise that is coming from me.
Jabu and Mazo, why are we having this?
Chair, the mics are muted. It's only your mic that's on, Chair.
But I'm hearing people talking. Listen, there's one thing even now. Cricket, we do welcome you, Cricket South Africa. We have not interacting with you this sixth parliament, and then I'm suspecting that everyone who's belonging to South Africa, you see the scourge of violence. We once attend the workshop of all stakeholders of sport, arts and culture, where we were just discussing this problem of gender-based violence. But it is just worse than ever. You can't believe that your husband, your boyfriend, your uncle, your father in some other instances, they can kill, they can do every horrible things in our women, even in kids. I can't understand. And we need to be united. We need you colleagues that you must form your organization, that you must educate these little boys. But it's not only little boys. It's only grown-up men that are doing this. You know what? It's so pathetic that every week a young woman is being raped, is being killed, is being hanged. A young 3-year-old is being raped, is being butchered, killed. What have we done? What have you done as women of South Africa? Brothers, fathers, can you try that the little boy, you must tell who are their mothers, sisters, aunt, cousin. We cannot go on like this. Why, before I'm becoming emotional about this thing of gender-based violence, here we are. I wanted to say, Cricket South Africa, we are welcoming you. But before we open this meeting, 20 minutes ago, I've noticed that three of you, whilst you are going to introduce yourself, we are presenting us with you, male, that this question of gender, it is nowhere in some of institutions, in some of a place where women are supposed to be part of whatever we are doing in each and every department, in communities. We are mothers of this world. We can't, whenever we are having a slot, that any community to be present something, you left the mothers behind. Gone are those days that we must be in the kitchen. And you know, this thing is horrible. That's why you are having this gender-based violence, because we're starting not to recognize the women folk. We can't go on like this. By those words, I'm welcoming, saying that we're having an agenda in front of us. If I can give it to Uzoleka or Ujabu to give us apologies.
Thank you, Chairperson. The only apology we have is Dr. Nkabane, Chairperson.
Okay.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Can I kindly request that members that are not presenting, they switch off their videos, so that we can have a better audio. Thank you, Chair.
Starting with myself, ne?
Yes, sir. When you're done, Chair.
Okay. I'm putting the agenda in front of you, honorable members. Can you adopt the agenda?
Yes, person.
Yes.
From store, I'm here for the adoption.
Yes, Honorable Tsepo Mhlongo, move for adoption. Any seconder?
Yes, Chairperson, Honorable Faba.
Honorable Faba, Honorable Malomane. Is it Malomane? Was I'm hearing a lady voice.
Was yes, it's Malomane, sir.
Okay, you attended it. Honorable members, may I have the agenda has been adopted. May I have the second item, apologies?
We have already done the apologies, Chairperson.
Okay. Now, Can we, President of Cricket South Africa, give us your delegation officially before we're giving you the slot?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good afternoon to the members of the Portfolio Committee. Chairperson, my name is Chris Nenzani. I lead this delegation, which is made up of the Vice President Beresford Williams, even though he seems to have connectivity issues, but the office is assisting him as much as they can. Then the other member of the delegation is the acting CEO, Dr. Jacques Fall. We thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. And we apologize, Honorable Chair and Honorable members of the committee. It was not an intention of all on our part to disrespect you, Honorable Chair, and your committee. We tried by all means to have a minimum delegation. We have a process that is ongoing at CSA currently, an induction process of the board members. We had just completed an election process of new independent directors, and all of them, three of them are women. I mean, two of them are women, one is a male. And we have, within our structures, the chairperson or the president of Central Gauteng Lions, who is a female. We're making small strides, as I said in one of our appearances before your Honourable Committee, that the nature of cricket, we're trying to change so that we introduce more leaders, women leaders into the upper echelons of the administration of cricket. We're doing that, Chair, we're quite cognizant that that is a key demographic constituency within our country. And also, Chair, you have touched on a very important matter as well, the issue of gender-based violence. I just want to share this with the committee, Chair, that at our AGM last year, we allocated a lot of time during my address to the AGM, where we adopted a position as CSA to say, because within our own players, the majority of them are young men, young boys, and then you have men at a higher level, at a professional level. And we committed ourselves to say, these players that are within our ranks, they must be sensitized, they must be taught, they must also be made aware that the country is facing a very, very serious indictment in the manner in which it treats women and children. And as such, our programs, our offerings, talk to that. And as such, we had said that we do not want to unleash into communities from cricket structures people are going to be a danger to society. And as such, also, we accepted and said to ourselves that it is the responsibility of men in whatever quarter of the country to ensure that the safety of women, young children, is always regarded as sacrosanct, and that we do everything we can as an organization to ensure that we sensitize our own people, our own players. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, President, about that. President, let me say official now that we cannot every now and then accept an apology where your representation is not according to gender. Correctly so, even last time we complained, even when we are coming to present, You must know that we are coming in the committee which is taking very serious the question of gender, especially in sport. We've been looking at this And we have been in all those who are coming to present, emphasize 26 down the line, we're still talking the very same issue. How are we going to accept that women must be part of each and every delegation is coming in the committee? Even last time we were saying this. So when somebody is asking apology, according to our culture, we need to accept apologies. But for how many times? I wanted to note that, and I'm suspecting as you finish your presentation and giving your updates of whatever we are doing, as you started to tell that we are doing ABC, we need to hear everything that is going on in Cricket South Africa. By nature, Cricket South Africa was the first one to adhere to the transformation which was put by the department to the policy. But today, I cannot say that you have reversed. You are the first ones to do that. But today, when we are getting to questions, we'll interact and we'll want to ask and scrutinize what is going on. Where are the women of South Africa? But let's thank what we have just said, and especially that we are talking about also the gender violence. But you must not forget about the youth of South Africa and the boy child. Thank you so much. Now, let me take this opportunity to ask the president that we must now conduct the presentation. We just tell who's going to talk, who's going to follow, in order that now I'm going to be like any other person to take off my video. I'm giving you the latitude of presenting, and whilst you are presenting, you just tell who's next until you finish your presentation. I thank you.
Order, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
The point of order, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Mshongo.
Chair, just for housekeeping, I wanted to find out how many hours or minutes are we given to get South Africa for presentation, because we only allocated 3 hours, 2 hours for questions.
Jabu?
Yes, Chairperson. Chairperson, it's 20 past 12 now. Maybe they can present up until 1 o'clock, and then the 2 hours will be left for the question and answer sessions, because it's quite a lengthy presentation, Chair.
Honorable members, can you agree on that?
Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable President of the South African Cricket, are you going to manage to present now until 1? Are you going to finish your flight?
We will do so, Honorable Chair.
Oh, thank you, Honorable Members. Now is the time that we must give it to the President. I thank you, Honorable Members. President.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We will stick to the time that is allocated to us. In order to have a flow in our presentation, you have received it. It's quite lengthy, but we will talk through it. We're not going to go line by line. I will hand over to the CEO to deal with certain aspects of the presentation. Then once he's covered those aspects, he will hand over to me to deal with issues that relate to the forensic investigation, the disciplinary processes, and where we are at this stage. Jacques, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Must not
thank
forget,
you.
Just a moment, Honorable Fab has been reminding you that you're having an acting CEO. I don't want that they must disturb you whilst you're talking. when we were not doing official meeting, Honorable Fabs complained about saying to have a CEO is acting. Honorable Fabs, don't ask that question. I've covered you. Thank you.
Chairperson, I was not complaining. I was just saying, I covered you,
my leader. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I might continue, I just want to check, Chairperson, if the presentation is visible to everyone, Chairperson. I've put it on the screen.
Not yet, Dr.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon, Chairperson and committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to present to you. I will do so within the allocated time and will also ask our President, Mr. Kirsten Zane, and our Vice President, Mr. Beresford Williams, to continue the discussion after the presentation. There is certain of the aspects that they dealt with directly, and I will allow them to also fill in. We did distribute, Chairperson, information for reading, so we do help, hope that that will give context to the presentation. Chairperson, we have had a difficult time since December 2019 with suspensions of senior members, also including the then CEO, and the CSA board came up with a recovery plan, and we divided it into a short, 6 months short-term tactic and then a further short-term tactics from June, August on. We then will have a strategic plan in place after the annual general meeting that will take place in September, whereby a new board will be elected, and hopefully by then we will also have sorted out the permanent CEO position or the CEO position. So that is just a strategic overview of where we are.
The presentation is not. The presentation is not on the screen.
But is, ma'am, let me just see if I can get it on. Is it on now, ma'am? Is it visible now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes. You can see it now. Thank you very much.
Well, apologies for that, ma'am. We on slide two, Cricket South Africa then at the recovery plan. We started off with a business audit, did a customer survey, and introduced the stakeholder management plan that addressed all our key stakeholders after mapping them, madam. And then had to start the process of mending some of the burnt relationships that we had. The Players Association would be one, and also one of the broadcasters. I'm comfortable that most of these have been restored, but we then had to look into a matter of crisis management and how do we build credibility going forward. Further, we needed to build some commercial capacity. And as we've continued with this process, the world was confronted with the COVID-19 pandemic, and we divided a lot of time in crafting a strategy. Our strategy is based on four pillars. The first one is safety, that we make sure that all involved in sport and that we can safely say that safety and their well-being is the number one priority. The second pillar was to look at how we can use our voice as sport to motivate South Africans and also the world to do the right thing, how we can use our voice to generate valuable income for the most vulnerable in the South African society. That was the second pillar. The third pillar was to make sure that we engage with stakeholders, our key stakeholders, during this very testing time. And the fourth one was to see how we can mitigate the financial impact that COVID-19 would have on us. We've been very fortunate that we went into our off-season. We make the bulk of our money with incoming tours played by the Proteas. So we were a little bit fortunate. However, We are part of the economic ecosystem and we've got a symbiotic relationship. We're only as strong as our sponsors would be, and the same for broadcasters. So there's a strategy that's ongoing that we've rolled down, and it's also included in your pack, committee members. We've included a operational plan that speaks to activities that's got to happen every 3 months, and we track it. We've also got a governance plan to make sure that we prioritize firstly and we deal with matters related to our governance. And in this time, we've also completed a commercial strategy where we linked up with the previous commercial manager at the International Cricket Council, Mr. Campbell Jameson, that's provided a lot of guidance to us. As I said, after the annual general meeting resolving the CEO issue, we will have to come up with a plan or craft a plan for 2021 to 2024 and see how we will plot our way further. Our short-term tactics for the next will remain competitive. Proteas, it's very important for us. We're going to review our pipeline. We're also going to review our competitive intelligence to see if we if our processes are systematic and scientific, and then look how that will influence our financial sustainability. Our operational effectiveness will be mostly guided by our tracking dashboards. Responsiveness has come out as one of the problems that we have as an organization. And then we will focus on continuous improvement to make sure that the organization will be going in the right place. We're currently in the process to determine our protocols and have it approved for the return to train, work and play. We're going to use our voice in terms of the Solidarity Cup. It's something I will speak on at the end of my slides. And then we will continue to engage with our stakeholders. It's something that we would have done up to now as well. The financial impacts of the crisis could potentially be severe on us as well. And we had a phased approach to our budgeting this year that we will review it again in July and August. We had a scenario planning which identified 5 scenarios, and this relates to when do we return to play and the impact thereof. Our commercial capacity, I spoke through, our project responsiveness, which in the past were problematic for us in that we had tournaments that we probably did not predict as good as we can. It's something that we're going to look at. In this testing times, we also looked at game changers. How can we get ahead of the curve and introduce good things that would have come out of the crisis? So the three-team cricket, which we've just announced, is one. Street cricket is another one. We will use the terminology meso cricket. We, on a daily basis, confront ourselves with the challenge to take cricket to the most people and the majority of people in South Africa in the most effective way, and to allow access to as many South Africans as we can do. Cricket's an expensive sport, but we've also become very innovative, not just with junior cricket, which we refer to as our KFC program, but we need a cricket just after that, maybe played by people that's a little bit older and that you don't necessarily need facilities. So it's something that we're keen on rolling out. We also got to look at how we commercialize professional cricket in a different way. We've got the Dave Richardson Commission that's going to look at the competition structure going forward. And then we, in future, would be looking to selling our own TV rights. I think we can create enough capacity within ourselves to do so. We've created 2 new competitions, the Pro 40, which is a knockout competition, and the idea is to take cricket to remote areas in South Africa and also rural areas. And the same with T10, we want that to be on a free-to-air broadcast package, which is very important for us in terms of reach. I'd like to share with you the Protea Management 2019 versus 2020. Madam Chair and committee members, I think a lot has been written about it, and we track and we measure as we should do when it comes to transformation. We've got a transformation charter and we value it quite high. I need to note that we also had a interim support coaching staff that played 3 games in India, and that was also very well transformed. And if you then look at how we compare between the two, there's not much difference to the new ones that was appointed under the now director of cricket, Graham Smith. We can never do enough for transformation, and I think we must also strive to include it. In some cases, if you look at the bowling coach, probably replaced by the same race person. It also, we had an opportunity to transform, and in future we've got to look at a better way of doing it. The second slide, I've then included the previous CEO and head of Pathways, just to give maybe a complete picture of it, and you'll see that the numbers below are more or less the same. Again, it is something that we can look at. I think our biggest dream is that all our teams and all our management teams would reflect the demographics of South Africa. We were very fortunate to pass the EPG with 70%. It is something that we measure, but again, we can never do enough. Chairperson, we take guidance from you, and I've noted that the seriousness we got to adhere to addressing our gender issues, that is so true, and it is something that we will definitely have to take to heart. If I continue to our financial statements, this is the audited financial statements of last year. So the last financial year, we made around 200 million rand loss. Just over 200 million rand. We haven't completed the audit function for this year. I am actually very proud to announce that this year we'll make a profit. We will make an accounting profit. And we have to note that there might be adjustments, but we safe to say that it will be either between 50 or 80 million rand. We've budgeted this year for a loss of 76 million, which is a very good news story for us. Our financial years runs over 4 years, and the last time or a previous occasion, we did mention to you the number of 654 million. Now, that cycle ends in the year 22, and with a positive swing, we've brought it down to 530, but with a positive swing, we're around 400 million, and we hope that will continue. The positive variance is mostly related to the weak rand. We get paid in dollars, US dollars, for our broadcasting, which makes up a large percentage of our income. Can be anything between 50 and 60%, depending of how many people come in. Our revenue in the previous financial year was just under a billion rand. This year it's 1.1, just due to the fact that you had England and Australia coming to tour in. You will see the transformation numbers just to the admin fee to the department that runs it out. We spent 608 million rand on cricket services, of which 330 reflect amateur cricket. In the previous financial year, it's 336 million rand in this financial year. So a very positive variance for us. Like I said, we budgeted for a 76 million rand loss, and we're going to make a profit this year. It's also due, I must, if I may, credit our own efforts in terms of savings and being financially smart in a very, very, very difficult time, and that's resulted in the positive situation for us. The President would speak through the forensic audit, but I have included slides to that, and I would allow him, Chairperson, to speak through it. A lot of it indicates the work that has been done by the forensic investigation. Maybe this slide is a better reflection of it and how far they've completed. This was at the time of submitting this report to yourself, Chairperson, and the committee. So I believe there is progress made even after that, but I would allow our President to speak through that. The disciplinary matters, the same, the President dealt with it. I didn't deal with it. It's not within my scope of work to deal with. But again, I've included slides for you to consider. There were 6 disciplinary hearings held between November 2019 and March 2020. All 6 employees were found guilty, and 2 of the matters, I'm sure most of them will end up at the CCMA, but I know there's 1 appeal still outstanding. Sponsorship strategy, Chairperson, the committee asks specifically for our strategy. Our business process started off with an audit, and it did not look very good for us in December 2019, and we had to take a serious look in the mirror. Standard Bank withdrew as a sponsor. Momentum were very criticizing of our governance. And then SACA was the same. We had to address this, so it wasn't a good start for us. The performance on field for the Proteas, I think we had mixed successes, although it ended quite well for us with a 350 over match win over Australia, which is very, very, very strong. These were the other matters that we had to deal with, COVID-19. Our customer survey, the suspended CEO issues at the time, and also the forensic investigation. We needed to build capacity. We've got a very young, dynamic, talented staff. But with the suspensions, it left us almost a little bit light in terms of experience. So we needed to go out. We needed to repackage our sponsorship properties, evaluate it, and craft rules of engagement. And we also want to internationalize our Protea brand, which has already come off for us. We've also introduced new offerings. 3-team cricket is one, but then also the Pro 40 and the T10, which was new packages that we could do. Chairperson, this cannot be done in isolation. We're doing with an integrated PR approach. I think the fact that we this year will make a profit this financial year will help us. It reflected negatively with us in the past. We have even a 2-week short-term strategy now, or short-term tactic, to see how we can do with a lot of negativity that's within the media. We've addressed the media and become much more accessible. I thought that the president Tuesday did a wonderful work in being open and honest with our fans and the media out there. We need winning on the field. That's important for any sports organization. And then also the announcing of sponsorship will help us quite a lot. Stability in administration is another point that we strive towards. We want to improve our responsiveness, and we've put in place a lot of focus on that. With that in mind, we also introduced the commercial activity tracker. We literally, from the first time we engage with a potential sponsor to when we invoice, to determine that time, to see if we can quick it up. We've engaged in a lot of training and benchmarking to see if we can improve our efforts. In terms of our stakeholder management, we followed a classic mapping in terms of power and interest, the Menelaus power interest grid, and then developed a engagement strategy for each one to make sure that we engage early and often with our key stakeholders. The idea is to follow King 4 Principle 16 almost to the letter, and that we track an issue via a matrix. Sports are unique. Industry, and I guess all the industries will claim that they're unique in a certain way, but we've got a lot of very relevant and key stakeholders, from governments to fans to political parties. They're all key stakeholders to players, a lot of people that is involved with us. In summary, our commercial strategy will look like this if you to put it in a picture that will lead to the selling of sponsorship properties, and this is just a summary of my points previously on how we were going to go through it and how it interacts. The same with revenue for us, home Protea matches make up the bulk of our money. We sell that to a broadcaster, and we also sell sponsorship packages don't just relate to your own matches. A bit of a concern is the future tour program, which refers to bilateral matches, and that's just other countries playing us in South Africa and us employing them in their countries, and of course the dollar-rand ratio, we've seen the impact thereof, and the value in being an exporter, sadly for a weaker rand, does help us, and this is the way we fund Cricket South Africa. Plans for new sponsorship, I'm not going to read through the slide, it refers to our strategy that we have done. Our biggest concern, and you'll see it in the next three slides, is that we don't have a team sponsor for the Proteas. Sponsorship has been put on pause right over the world. There's not a lot of people that actually do sponsorship deals at this time. It's just a low level of predictability. And you would then see in terms of our test cricket sponsorship, there's three properties that's not available at this stage, of which the big one would definitely be team sponsor. And the same will be for the ODI. This is 550 over cricket. So the previous slide, Chairperson, will refer to test cricket, five-day cricket. Then we look at the next slide. Is our second property is 50 over cricket, and that's the World Cup format. And again, you'll see three category partners still available, and we don't have a team sponsor at this stage. And then, of course, the T20, which is a very strong property for us. You'll see there's four category partners available, also the back of the shirt. And then, of course, we still need a sponsor to go with that. Chairperson, we've just launched the Solidarity Cup match that we hope to play on the 27th under strict rules. And I must compliment the department that's worked quite closely with us, both the minister and the officials. Has been fantastic in helping us getting this over the line. Chairperson, I also need to mention that one of the coaches of the three teams is a lady, Mignon Lepria, quite a seasoned cricketer, so it'll be the first time that a women's coach will coach a men's team, and we want to use this opportunity to highlight gender violence and using our voice as sports people to highlight the issue in South Africa, also adhering to the call of our president the other night. We're going to use this and we're going to roll out a lot of things around it and also indicate that this wonderful women's player can also be a coach of men. And hopefully we will add our voice to it. It will add to the hardship fund, which I think will be of value for us. The hardship fund will look at a lot of great initiatives done by our cricket players. Themba Bavuma is one, Faf du Plessis the other one, that helps communities and feed communities. So that is something that we feel strong about. Also, the industry is a cutthroat industry. A lot of people lose their contracts. It's been really tough if you were a professional coach, and hopefully the hardship fund will work to that. I also got to mention the Solidarity Fund, which was unbelievable in their support. So we hope that this is unique. It is a unique format. It's never been played before. It's three teams at the same time. South Africa launched this. There was a big global uptake to it, and it is wonderful. It works on the basis that a commercial sponsor will pick up all the costs and the teams are then sold and the money will be donated for the hardship fund. So it already have an income going. Again, Chairperson and Committee, we know that sport has the power to change the world. And the power to inspire. We are temporary custodians of the game. We must serve the game as best as we can. We do have a lot of challenges, and I think in the last 6 months we've gone through this. I was also the acting chairperson. Chairperson, I was also the acting CEO back in 2012-2013. We faced similar challenges, and we got through it, and after that actually had a wonderful time in cricket. I think it's fair to say that we in a way got to apologise for the situation we got ourselves in. I can assure you that the fact that financially we already a bit more stable will help us. The fact that we have signed a international sponsor for a substantial amount will also help us. But there's lots to do, Chairperson. There's a lot to do on in terms of gender equity. And I hope one day we will reach our goal of reflecting our wonderful nation. I thank you, Chairperson, and I hand over to our President. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you. Honourable Chairperson, I'll deal with the matters that relate to the forensic services that are conducting an investigation at CSA. We took that decision in December 2019 when we addressed the press conference on the 7th of December 2019. And we said that we will put in place a management investigation and we are going to appoint an independent company. We appointed Funduzi Forensic Services. There was quite some delay because the forensic service was not only going to look at...
Yes, I opened the presentation. We want to see what the president is presenting to us. Is it a verbal report or not? I don't see that. I only see the quote from Nelson Mandela. Now, can we have a presentation or is it a verbal report that he's giving us?
Chairperson, if I may, it's adding to the report. The slides referring to the forensic audit and the disciplinary matter, so there's not an additional report and you would not, there's no slides on that, Chairperson, if it helps.
Maybe Jacques can go back to the slides that talk about the investigation.
Chair, point of order?
Yes, Honourable Mson.
Chair, it's one of the requests, if there's no slide, there's no presentation, it shows that CSA, they're undermining this committee. Why I'm saying that one of the requirements is they must present a forensic report of all disciplinaries. Now it shows that they're undermining us. They must give us a presentation now.
Can you go back to
yes, I was going to say that when the acting CEO was saying that you'll add on, I'm suspecting maybe he was saying that you clarify more on the presentation that he presented. Understanding is that.
Yes, I'm requesting him to go back to the slide that talks about the investigations as well as the disciplinary processes because it's covered. It is part of the presentation.
Yes, it is in the presentation. Can you see the presentation? Let me just see.
Just go back, Jacques.
Okay. Is the presentation
present? No, we don't see it yet.
Okay. Is it visible now? Is it visible now?
Yes, there it is.
Okay. Here we go, President. So there's disciplinary matters. You want to start with...
Just go
you're welcome to start up with forensic, yeah?
There
we go. That's the start, President. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair. This is the slide that I was talking to because if you remember when the acting CEO was presenting, he said that I will be dealing with these slides. So we appointed Funduzi Forensic Services in February and they started to do their work on the 6th of March. And the reason for that, the board did not only say the forensic investigation should focus on management, but we also said that forensic investigation must also focus on whether the board had adhered to the CSA's governance framework as well. Once we made that statement or that decision, then the board could not appoint a forensic service company. Then that function had to go to the members' council, that is the 14 provincial presidents, plus who sit as the members' council. They had to agree on the terms of reference, agree on the processes, and do the appointing, which they did. There was a lot of toing and froing in terms of agreeing into the terms of reference, but eventually the company was appointed. And the company had to do a lot of work. We gave them a period that they can go 24 months back and look at all the processes, management decisions, board decisions. They did, that was a lot of work, and they had indicated that they will give part one of that report to CSA by close of business today. And then the second part will be available to CSA before the 30th of June of this year. And it looked at a number of issues. It looked and looking at issues like delegation of authority, conflict of interest, management thereof, procurement of policies, and many other issues. Also, one of the matters that it had to look at what could be the possible issues that CSA could put forward as the matters that could lead to a process of disciplining the suspended CEO. We have information, but wanted them to confirm and quantify that kind of information so that CSA can take a process forward in terms of dealing with the suspended CEO. Also, before the CEO was suspended, he had suspended three senior executives and some middle and junior managers for various indiscretions, and the disciplinary processes had unfolded. People were found guilty and dismissed. Those who were sanctioned with dismissal. Those that were sanctioned with written warnings, that was done. Currently, we are waiting the outcome of an appeal which was made by the suspended chief of operating officer. And that appeal is due. I mean, the outcome is due, and we will have to deal with it. Also, you would have seen that the head of sales and sponsorship relations manager had appealed to the board because he was found guilty, and the sanction that was issued by the independent disciplinary chairperson was that of dismissal. He has indicated that he's going to take that appeal further to the CSCMA. We are therefore waiting to hear, and then we'll have to make representations in defense of the decision that the board took. All of these matters, we are trying to go into a period where we can say they have been concluded. But these processes are not controlled by us because they're done independently, and therefore we have to deal with them in the manner in which the independent people are dealing with them give us reports. But we are confident that we will be solving the bulk of these issues before the end of June, so that the organization can move without the focus on the disciplinary issues. It became necessary that these DC issues needed to be taken on board, because you had people that had to take accountability for the actions or omissions on their part. So that in a nutshell is a report and an explanation on the issues that relate to Funduzi Forensic Services investigation, which is nearing its end. I'm expecting by today that they will submit part one of their report, which is going to assist us to take action that we need to take in the next few days. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, President. Thank you, Acting CEO. Honorable members, I'm suspecting they've managed to finish on the agreed time. I've been told that the minister is with us, the DG is with us. We are welcoming you, Minister and the DG. So now, honorable members, may I take this opportunity, who's this? Jabu and Zoe, assist me on the discussions that I'm calling now the honorable members to take their time and ask questions, clarification, way forward, Jabu.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have Mr. Madlingozi. Mr. Madlingozi.
Sorry, Smazo.
Yes, sir.
The first member to raise the hand is Tatu Siabi, then Tatu Faba,
okay.
And then Tatu Madlingozi.
I can't hear you.
Okay, Chair. It was Tatu Siabi.
Yes.
Siabi, Chair.
Yes.
And then Faba.
Yes.
And then Madlingozi.
Yes.
And then Tatu Msongo.
Yes.
I see, Chairperson, that Malomal has raised the hand as well.
Okay.
In that order,
and Ms. Adams. Ms. Adams' hand is also up.
Okay. Thank you, honorable members. Let me take this opportunity to give honorable Siabi, and after honorable Siabi, you must note is honorable Faba. After honorable Faba, Madlingozi, number 4, honorable Mhlongo, number 5, honorable Malomane, number 6, honorable Adams, because I want even to listen to you. I'll come after honorable Adams as number 7. Thank you so much. I'm out now.
Thanks very much, Chair. I hope I'm audible. Jabu, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are. Yes, you are. Tatu Faba, can you switch off your video, please?
Thanks very much, Chair. And I want to start by welcoming the presentation from Cricket South Africa. I'm just concerned that President, you don't invite us to your matches. Having said that, I saw a statement, President, that is attributed to you saying you regret why you stayed for another year as the president of Cricket South Africa. I'm not sure whether it's true. If it's true, please take us into confidence, because this statement says to me that the house is on fire. The chairperson in her opening remarks talked at length on issues of transformation. And you were, as you said, also in your presentation, you were once regarded as the champion of transformation in that area. But there are signs that you are regressing on that one. Although the acting CEO said you are on top of it, I don't know if you can give us a plan on how are you going to make sure that you continue with the issues of transformation, because that is key for the country. My other question is, how were you as an organization affected by COVID-19? We have your annual budget as presented. In your annual budget, it shows a deficit of 200 million. Would you mind taking us into confidence about that deficit? But further, I want to know how much of your budget is dedicated towards the development of cricket in the rural areas, especially villages and townships. Other questions?
Mr. Moru and the disciplinary that's going on. Chairperson, yes, I want to start off as Mr. Nzani, the board chairperson was just confirming that the report will be out today and the investigation on the previous CEO, Mr. Moru. After costing Cricket South Africa 80 million rand sponsorship loss per year from Standard Bank. And you can, if we want to know if you can perhaps give us just a short outcome.
And I wanted to know, was this part of the previous CEO, Mr. Moru? And are you intending getting people with knowledge like her back? Then on my second question, as there will only be 200 people allowed at the Solidarity Cup that will start on the 27th of June, I would like to know, will the games be broadcasted by DSTV, SABC, on the broadcasting rights? As we know, there are a lot of money involved with this. Will the especially most vulnerable people, most people especially kids in the disadvantaged committees that would like to watch cricket, will not most probably have access to DSTV? What will the situation be on that? Then we heard the acting CEO talking on the relationship between Cricket SA and SACA, Cricket Association. I'd like to get a little bit more info on that. We know that the relationship went south. I would like to know if that's back on track. And then I see as Cricket South Africa is exceeding with their transformation status as per the EPG, which is the Eminent Persons Group reports. We see that they've exceeded that, and also by demonstrating redress through inclusion for all. I would like to know, does the Department of Sport actually give you a fair bite of their budget, as you have mostly rely on sponsorships, and we know that sponsorships are getting thin and spread far apart. There's a lot of sports that's getting a big bite of the yearly budget, and I would like to know if you are really getting the right share. I just feel that some sports, it gets more than others, quite much more than others, and some sports bodies have to actually go and look for these sponsorships, which, as I say, is not always available. And I'm asking this because I started playing cricket when I was 5 years old. My children played cricket, and I'm still now playing cricket with Parliament. So I would like to know, we are a cricket, rugby, and football nation, and this is really close to our hearts. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. This is Majingulzi speaking. As you said, you are not going to introduce us. Let me first welcome the presentation by Cricket South Africa. Yes, this is a committee that deals with cultural and art aspects as well. The very first issue of transformation that I'm seeing here is the people's names and surnames must be pronounced properly. The point in question I'm talking about is Mr. Fowles mentioning of his president as Mr. Chris Nenzani. I think if it is written like that, it should be like that. That is the very first respect that we need to have to each other, and also with the sport as well. The strict cricket cannot be a game changer for me because the very aspect of the kids playing cricket in the street is because there were no spaces that were allocated for kids to play cricket as well. You know, there were no piece of land that were allocated for that to happen. So I don't see it as a game changer, but it needs to have places that must be created for such sports as Honorable Siyabi has you know, said that we should have space like that in our you know, fundamental stages of black schools and black society. And I'd like to know why was Standard Bank withdrawing to be a sponsor for cricket, and also it puzzled me that Mr. Fowle was talking about the you know, he pointed it as an outstanding thing that there will be a woman coaching men team. Why is it being an extraordinary thing to say that there'll be a woman coaching a men's team rather than saying that the coach will be Miss or Mrs. So and so? So I think that it starts from there that women are being looked at as a special thing, that they'll be doing something for men. And on the president's cricket said, I want to know whether the president, Mr. Chris Nenzani, is it by choice that he was not mentioning the names of the people affected and by this problem that this cricket is having. So, yeah, I will read, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Sapo Msongo, I note the presentation. According to this presentation, as of the 1st of June, the report must be available. But the CSA is failing this committee because they did not even present this report to us. I think it's a grey area on its own. One thing that I wanted to find out, what is the board going to do? Let's say they exercise their right. They did not exercise their right accordingly. What are they going to do? Let's say they find out that this duty that they've done, it's not according to the law. For an example, I wanted to find out the same approach which was used for Thabang Moge, is it going to be used to the entire board? And is this entire process fair according to CSA policy and labor law? Is this process consistent with the law following the processes of Mr. Longat? If not, why not? Where are the reports suggested that it warrants Mr. Moore to be suspended?
Mr. Fowler was talking about the you know, he pointed it as an outstanding thing that there will be a woman coaching men team. Why is it being an extraordinary thing to say that there'll be a woman coaching a man's team rather than saying that the coach will be Miss or Mrs. So-and-so? So I think that it starts from there that women are being looked at as a special thing, that they'll be doing something for men. And on the president's cricket said, I want to know whether the president, Mr. Chris Senzani, is it by choice that he was not mentioning the names of the people affected and by this problem that cricket is having? So yeah, I will read Chair. Thank you very much.
I'll call him Chair just to see where he is. I think Chair, you can continue. I'll call him.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I noted the presentation. According to this presentation, as of the first.
Where? Okay. Where did you? Did you get the? Will the board members?
You were saying that we must. No. You were saying that who must we listen to between the president and the acting COO? So continue from there.
Okay.
Thank you.
I was saying that, Chair, because the acting CEO said the forensic report will be given to the public, but they've failed even to give us this report today. But the president came out and saying something differently. Who must we listen to? One thing that I wanted to find out, for Mr. Smith to come out in public saying he does not understand transformation, I don't understand that. Are you dealing with it as CSA South Africa? Did you explain to him what is transformation, Mr. Smith? Gerald Smith, did you explain to him? Mr. Smith went all out to say he supports the seat of ICC chairperson. Not you, Mr. President. He supports only the seat of ICC president, chairperson, not you as the president. Now, I wanted to find out, don't you see this as a subordinate? Was he, is Mr. Smith going to be charged or not? Are we going to process the same process that we've done with Mr. Moore? For the past 7 months, he's been suspended. They did not charge him. I don't see any charges. They did not even present to us today these charges. One thing that I wanted to find out from the president, the appointment was done since December, and the process to date, nothing has happened. What is happening? When are you going to charge Mr. Moore? Why did Mr. Moore went to work last week? It was Thursday or Tuesday, but he went to work in the office. Can you confirm, was the office closed for him to come in? Because we're reading different reports what happened, but tell us exactly what happened. I want you to find out, Chair, regarding the progress made in the project. We call it Project 654, regarding the organizational estimate. What is happening with that? I wanted to find out regarding the reports, Chairperson. Will we get the reports now or at the end of June? If, why not now? And why the press is saying tomorrow or today? What is happening, Chair? For now, Chair, I'll just hold and then I'll comment later. I have more questions to ask, Chair, unless you can give me another bite to find out from Cricket South Africa, are they getting their income state that the balance sheet at the end of 30th June, it's more than what they have.
Honorable Mhlongo, okay, Honorable Mhlongo, we are going to have the second bite.
Thank you
so much. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation by Cricket South Africa. But the first thing that I want to speak about is that I'm not happy with the representation that they've came with today, and it must be noted in the minutes, so that next time there must be women that are also present when they are coming as board members or as leaders in CFA. Also, I want to speak on the issue of transformation. Yes, Cricket South Africa was the first one to make sure that they do this transformation. They are having a green light. But it seems as if even today, we can't see the green light, what is happening. If you can check the leadership in the Cricket SA, it's only white dominant. You check the in their report, it's only white dominant. Where the head of the coaches and whatsoever, it's only white people. So how are they going to transform and make sure that next time the head or the coaches are black people? The other thing that I want to ask is, how much of the budget goes towards cricket development in the farms and villages in their budget? The other question is that, will Cricket South Africa be taking further criminal actions, or are they going to lay charges against these employees as they were found to be guilty? The other thing is that, can they take us through to their, but also, let me not repeat it about their balance and their statements. And then how does Cricket South Africa ensure less privileged schools get equal opportunity? If you can check the leadership of the, from long time ago, I don't know, I can't tell which years, the leaders are from boys' schools, not from disadvantage. How are they going to be the captains? If every time these captains are from the boys' schools, where and how are they going to make sure that they develop also those who are from rural, so that one day we can see a person from the rural areas being the leader of or being a captain in Cricket South Africa? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Take this opportunity, as I said when I was my opening remarks, here we are today. And
excuse me, Chairperson. Excuse me, Chair. Miss Adams was the last person on your list.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I'm sorry, Honorable Adams. Honorable Adams, take the.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can you hear me? Chairperson, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Ms. Adams.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation by Cricket South Africa. My questions to the board is, according to the 2018-2019 EPG Transformation Scorecard, Cricket South Africa has not achieved the target in terms of gender Black African representation in the senior male national team, as well as the female national and under 19 teams. Can Cricket South Africa provide the committee with the reasons thereof? What plans are in place to ensure that targets are reached in the near future? And then the second question, what has been the challenges leading to Cricket South Africa only achieving 70% of its sales set targets in 2018 and 2019? Third question, Chairperson. The target set by Cricket South Africa in the underage category of the female national teams in teams of Black African player representation are too low. For example, 24 out of 27%. Hence, it was easier to achieve those targets. What are the reasons for such low targets being set? Why can't they use the same targets as the senior national teams? My last question, Chairperson. What is the state of franchise cricket in non-metropolitan cities of South Africa? I thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Can anyone
thank
hear
you
me?
So much. Who's that now? We're finished with Honorable Adams. I was thinking that number 7 is myself.
Yes, Chair, you go now.
Oh.
Chair, okay. We can allow you to go.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable Members, when we started this meeting, I've said why even today Cricket South Africa we're coming with the men's club. And I was saying when we're getting to discuss and giving suggestions and way forward, I'm going to repeat this. You know, this is the time that we must not compromise about transformation. The reversal of it, we cannot just keep quiet as this committee. You know, as I'm sitting here, I'm aware that every now and then, in your slide, you are talking about assisting the rural people, rural kids who play this cricket. But you are still, even now, saying that you said it in the past parliament. Fortunately for us, you were in this committee. But even today, we don't have any statistics saying that since inception of the democratic government, we've done ABC in rural areas. How many times must we ask this? Some of us were young at heart in the sport. We started this sport before unbanning, when all people except the certain community, which is white, were benefiting. And when we came to the democracy, and when we put policies, we did put policy, and we have something we called EPG for all the codes. And you presented what you are going to do. I'm happy that I've heard that the minister and the team, they are here. This is the time that we must effect the sanctions in each and every sport coach who's not following the transformation. We cannot serve in this committee whilst before we were playing netball, some of us. We were in the athletics, some of us. It was not easy being a black child of then regime that we must have the benefits of what we were thinking now. Here we are, and we are here with you, and we don't want you to take any person who's not qualifying. But how are they going to qualify? Because the resources of some sport codes is still looking in the, it's not in, not in the inclusiveness. There are certain people who still benefit. As I'm sitting here, I would love to hear in this board, what have you done before you suspend all other these people? Because when we called you last time, you cancelled our meeting before we have been this all what we're seeing of suspending that one and that one. You cancelled what some of you were already in Cape Town. They had to be called back to your offices. We were thinking that by this time we'll come with something that we're saying that no, we're agreeing with you. But as I'm sitting here, Honorable Mhlongo, I didn't see what you have saw, somebody in this team of this board that is saying that what is transformation? How can you ask that? Do you think that, let's say, thank you, Honorable Minister, I know that there are those things which we suppose to act these functions. We will give you the mandate as a community. If people, they don't want to do what is supposed to be done here as this committee, we are no longer going to be just friendly, but we want to be friendly. We are giving you another chance, but I'm suspecting it's too much. We can't not have the women. We can't have not to have the black and white in your board. Why is it not like that? So I'm saying today we are here. Usually when you're coming to a committee, we need not to be angry. We need to face facts. But how long must we say that the transformation must be seen? I must tell you, as honorable members were saying, this is a reversal of what we have done. But now today, you are doing such things as if we are not working as a collective. I didn't hear also what the president was saying. I'm suspecting the very same president was elected by the collective. He can't go out saying that he's regretting. You didn't put yourself in this position. I'm suspecting that there's something wrong. If you said that you were wrong, even if you were feeling the pinch, you can't retreat. How are you going to retreat whilst you are still having serious problems? You didn't put yourself there. I thank you. We can give it to the Cricket South Africa. I don't know if Minister is here. He does hear what the committee, which is doing a monitoring to themselves. Maybe if you want to say something, because I'm suspecting they do sit with the department. But I've noticed that once we ask them to come, I'm hearing that yesterday and the other day, which means if we didn't call a subject to be corrected, we didn't call this meeting. These meetings that they're saying we're going to finalize today and other days, it means that we're doing our monitoring, honorable members. Honorable Minister, we want to take anything that you want to say to us as a committee.
If I may be a chair, perhaps at the end.
President of the people that elected you to be a president, please answer us with your collective.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you for an opportunity to explain a few things. There's quite a lot of questions. I will attempt most of them. Then those that I cannot, or in terms of specific figures, the acting CEO will deal with them. The third question, Chair, that I was asked by Honorable Siabi, was that why did I say at a press conference on Tuesday evening, when I was asked whether there is any threat, and I indicated three things. The first one was that we have not hit a stage where we can say that we have radically transformed cricket. That's what the issues indicated. The second one
just
was that...
Just a moment, there's something which is making noise. the president, the shooting which is having a sharp noise at your background, I don't know what is it.
It's not on my side.
It's not on your side. It's not on the side of president. Try to check this noise.
We've muted. To listen. We've muted, Chair.
Okay. President.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Let me listen. Yeah.
The second, issue that I said I would regret in terms of the term of office is that we have not been in a position to communicate properly the things, the positive things that Cricket South Africa is doing, because we relied mainly on the media to do so. We have not had a platform where we can sort of showcase our own achievements, the things that we're doing, which are positive. And the last part was what Honorable Siabi has asked me, and also I think you've done the same, Chair. Let me contextualize my answer to that question. My term of office should have ended last year in September. In 2018, in a board meeting in East London, there was a Interim Members Council meeting. There was a resolution taken by the council to say that they will request the president to stay for another year. I did not say yes, I did not say no. Then in June in Johannesburg, in Pretoria to be specific, the question was again put before the Members Council. And I requested to leave the meeting when this matter was discussed. And when I was called back to the meeting, I was informed that the council had agreed that I should extend my term. The reason why I say in hindsight I should not have agreed is very simple. Out of that, there was a concerted attack on me by the media, claiming that I had lobbied the support of all the presidents and also changed the constitution, the MOI of CSA, to allow the president to serve an additional year. And as a result of that attack on the president, unfortunately, the organization suffered collateral damage, because there was an attack and to suggest that I had engineered the process of serving an extra term. The constitution of CSA has not been amended to effect the change in relation to the extension of the term of a president. That decision was taken in line with the Companies Act, which allows the board that it can extend by special resolution the term of one of its directors for a year on an annual basis, but that cannot exceed 9 years. Constitution of CSA has not been altered, and I have not in any given point in time lobbied the members to do so. And I said at the press conference, maybe it is because of the view that I have of leadership. Because to me, leadership means it's an obligation to serve. Once elected, you have an obligation to serve. And if people elect you, and if people request you to stay on for a certain period of time, you subject yourself to that directive. It does not mean there is anything that is happening within the organization that has caused me to do so. But I felt that because of this concerted attack and the innuendos that I had engineered the extension of my term, and unfortunately the organization as a result of that suffered collateral damage. So that, Honorable CIB, is the context why I said that. Because I respect CSA as an organization. I would not be one to create a situation where because of an attack directed at me, CSA also becomes part of the victim in the process. I will move, Honorable Chair, to the next question. Whether are there any indications, in fact, I think this question is related to many other questions that have been asked relating to transformation, whether there are any, in fact, there's a view that there are signs of regression. What is the plan for us to address that? And also, there are other questions that when I address this question, I hope I would also touch on those questions as well. The CSA is committed to transformation, and it is true that we're amongst the first, if not the first, national code to really drive the process of transformation, and we still continue to do so. Even today, we have an induction process today, we dedicated today to transformation, and it's continuing. Our commitment to transformation is not based on the fact that we have to pass the EPG processes. It is an obligation that we have. And what the EPG processes is doing also is putting impetus into ensuring that we don't fall behind the targets and also commitment that we have made as an organization, as a board. Over the last few months, what has happened is, if we go back to 2019, cricket had a World Cup in England. Our team performed poorly. If you go back again to 2015, cricket World Cup was hosted in Australia and New Zealand. Our team went as far as the semi-final, a match that they should have won, because of a number of contextual issues, that match was not won. And what we did thereafter, we instituted a panel to look at the performance of our national teams. One of the recommendations of that panel was that we need a director of coaching. That director of coaching should be the person who's going to ensure that coaching of cricket in CSA in South Africa, there is a common DNA and there's a common philosophy, so that when a player is coached at an under 11, under 13, under 15, and so on, he is coaching the same within the same philosophical environment, and also he is not surprised when he goes to the next level. When we performed poorly at the World Cup in England, we sat and said, let's go back to the 2015. Recommendations of the panel and look for a person to appoint as a director of cricket. It's a massive responsibility. It's a massive opposition to have, because it requires somebody who knows the game of cricket, who has played the game of cricket. When he speaks, when that person speaks, the entire system should be able to listen. When that person drives a particular strategy, the entire system is ready and able to listen. And you needed somebody, therefore, would have a track record in the game to fill that position. Unfortunately, we went through a process of interviews. I don't want to go into that long story. And the candidate that emerged from that process was Graham Smith. And because of a number of issues, Graham Smith initially did not want to take the position. I had to engage him and talk to him. Eventually, as we know, that he was appointed an interim director of cricket until he was appointed a permanent director. The other issue is, we suspended a black CEO and we appointed a white interim CEO or acting CEO. And to many people, that created an impression that there is a regression in terms of transformation. And if you look broadly in the offerings and also in the organization that is Cricket South Africa, and you look in a variety of levels, you will find that transformation that we've committed to ourselves has not necessarily regressed, but because at the top you've appointed two key personnel that happen to be white, and therefore there is a view that there is a regression in transformation. We are the first to say that we are not where we want to be, because our belief is that transformation, you cannot say I have achieved, now I'm doing nothing more, I'll just sit back and relax. It's a constant commitment that you need to have. And in line with transformation, the transformation agenda, in 2015, we signed a tripartite agreement between the Department of Basic Education, Department then of Sports and Recreation at the time, and Cricket South Africa, particularly trying to address the challenges that we face when we get into the rural areas and township schools, in as far as cricket development is concerned. Just to give honorable members an example, cricket is an expensive sport. You can play rugby, you can play soccer, in any open space. In any open field, you can make a makeshift field and practice rugby and so on. But with cricket, you can do that, but it does not help you. You need a specific, particular field where cricket will be played, where cricket will be practiced. And therefore, we had that arrangement, that tripartite agreement between the two departments of state, as well as cricket. And in that, we said as cricket that we will offer the expertise that we have in terms of running programs. And then the Department of Sport will take over the excellent performance system. And then the Department of Education, Basic Education, will take the responsibility to ensure that schools that do not have cricket is introduced there. There will be infrastructure that will help us to come in to introduce programs of cricket. And at this stage, that has not yet been fully implemented. What we also did, I'm trying to answer a number of questions under this question. What we also did, because the development of cricket, if people go back maybe in the late 80s, early 90s, was based on the school system, because school is a controlled environment. And cricket began its development located it within each and every school, in each and every community, which worked at the time, but it's no longer sustainable. Because if you look in the villages, maybe some of you have noticed this, many schools in the villages are closing. And many schools in the villages, sport is no longer a big issue. And particularly because you may not have every person or every teacher who is in a position to coach cricket. And it's not only cricket, even other sports as well. And also you look at one of the issues which relates to natural attrition in terms of people leaving schools, in terms of people coming to schools. You have an aging teacher cohort in many schools. And therefore, as a result of that, sport is suffering. What we have done, we have clustered schools into what we call cricket hubs. So that in a particular area, there will be what we call a hub of cricket, which means we'll have a point where coaching takes place. And then the neighboring schools, neighboring clubs, players from those schools and clubs would deserve to be coached at a better level, would be coached at that hub, so that they can play more games in that hub. And then from the hub, the hubs would play against each other, one another, and then they progress to what is called a regional performance hub. Okanya Regional Performance Center. The main purpose of that is where schools used to be the nursery for cricket development, that is no longer happening. Now you needed to find space, I mean a place where you locate development in these communities. We put coaches there, we fund those coaches, and we ensure that these hubs play games. Because if you want to compete properly in cricket, you need to play more games. If you go to an advantage school, well-resourced school, you find that players there, boys and girls that play cricket, they will play in excess of 20 games in a season, excess of 15 and so on in a season. But if you go to townships as well as rural areas, you find players playing cricket there, they will play about 5, 4, 6 games in a season. That cannot be comparable. So our hub system seeks to address that. The other issue that relates to transformation is how much resources do we allocate to transformation? I think if we had listened when this acting CEO was making a presentation, on an average, we spend more than 300 million rand in cricket development in order to target areas where we have these hubs, in order to target areas where we have schools that are playing cricket. And the other factor that is coming in the issue of transformation, especially access at rural areas, because of urbanization impact, you don't have many parents staying in the rural areas. They move and move to urban centers. Hence, you have an influx of cricketers in the urban centers, and especially in some of the so former Model C schools. Then the other issue is how much, okay, I've answered that one, how much budget to put aside. Then how do we accelerate talented players from rural schools? What we do in the hub system, you have your best players in that area, girls and boys. And then you take them to the next level, the Regional Performance Center. They get proper coaching, they get proper conditioning, and then you take them in what we call academies at the provincial setup, at the regional setups. We have academies there. We take them there, and they will get part in, be part of our underage weeks, your under 15, under 13, under 15, under 18, and so on. Then you take them to academies, and the top would be the under 19 academy. Each and every affiliate has an under 19 academy, and we have under 19 academy weeks. Most of the time, we lose black players in the system of cricket. Immediately they leave high school and they go to TVET colleges, to universities. That's where you lose them. Because when you get there, the focus now is no longer on cricket, but the focus now is to look at other economic imperatives that the child must ensure that he secures or she secures a career, and you miss them, you lose them in the system. Then the other question that I think I need to address myself is the removal of a black CEO replaced by a white CEO. We did not look at the color. We looked at efficiency. And we did not look at the color. We looked at we had to suspend a CEO because of certain critical aspects which we had subjected to a forensic investigation because we wanted a situation where when we act, we have quantifiable information that we're going to say the CEO is accountable for this, and therefore let's take action in relation to what the CEO is accountable for. And we had to look around, and because you need somebody who's going to to hit the ground running. And we looked around and we found Dr. Fall. And we said, Dr. Fall, this is the situation. We want you to come in so that you steady the ship. We did not look at his race, but we looked at his skill and leadership. Jacques, can you deal with this question before I go to the next one? Can you deal with this question as to how COVID has affected us and also address the matter that relate to the last year's budget deficit of 200 million? I think you had managed to do that. I think you need to clarify it a bit. Then I'll deal with other questions.
Thank you, Mr. President. Chairperson, if I may, I'm also, President, if I may, would address the some of the rural funding that we deal with as well, Mr. President. The COVID-19 crisis for now hasn't affected us in a negative way, hence we will have a profit situation with our annual financial statements being announced soon. However, it will have an effect going forward. The biggest effect would be the congestion of the bilateral cricket in the world. So it is linked to incoming tours. If it is too congested and we lose out on especially Indian content, home content, can have a massive effect on us. Chairperson, if I may just share the information, as much as if we lose or not play three T20 scheduled to India, we can lose as much as 150 million rand. That is quite a significant number. But for now, since we were in the off-season, it did not affect us so much. However, it will be very difficult to replace a sponsorship like Standard Bank at 73 million rand a year just because of the economic climate. The international sponsor that we have signed is not on that level. It is on around 50% of that level. So we are still looking for a team sponsor for the Proteas. And you can imagine a chairperson with the low level of predictability, the negative economic climate, it will be difficult to replace. In terms of our expenditure, the President was correct that we allocate around 330 million last year, financial year, this year 336 million rand to 14 affiliates for amateur cricket or development cricket. And also, rightly so, that we created a hub or RPC, a regional performance centres. So that is the amount that is divided among the 14 affiliates and should cover every corner of South Africa in theory. But as I think the committee members rightly stated, that the rural areas needed more attention and a focused approach. So to that, we also add 1.5 million rand to the Fort Hare Academy. There's a rural provincial week that we spend 4.1 million rand annually on. It's also on the 17 rural week, and these weeks are focused on players from rural areas. We then have a further 9 hubs that collectively receive 4 million rand designated for rural areas, and then one RPC that receives 520,000 rand. That adds up to 12.5 million rand. Chairperson, Mr. President, if that is fine.
Thank you, Jacques. Then I will go to the question that Honorable Faber asked. One of them was whether we are in a position to share the outcome of the forensic investigation. At this stage, I think I also need to clarify this. At this stage, we have not received the outcome or the report. What I indicated is that there will be a report that will be received today, before close of business today, and that report will go to the person who was elected by the Members' Council to be the conduct with the investigators. That report will deal with matters that surround the suspended CEO, so that once that report is received, and then required action could be taken as soon as possible. Then by the end of the month, before the end of the month, the forensic auditors have promised us that they will give us the full and complete report. You would have seen in the slides the targets and the milestones that they had indicated, and that by the end of the month, before the end of the month, we'll receive that report. What we will do, we will obviously share the information that is in the report in as far as the law allows us to do, and we'll share that information with the public, we'll share it with the committee as well. Then the other question was, why did Professor Shelley Zin resign? That Professor Shelley Zin resigned, and are we then committed as the CSA board to bring people of similar stature to the board? We have done that. We have appointed three independent directors who are very skilled, well-qualified, and they are part of the induction process that is going on today. And I'm sure we can share with the committee through you, Honorable Chairperson, their background, their CVs. We have done that. We're quite comfortable that we have brought in people who are going to make a telling impact at CSA. Then the other question is relationship between Cricket South Africa and the Players Union, SACA. And I always refer to this as a relationship of necessity, because we need SACA. We cannot have Cricket South Africa running without the players. And the players, surely, they need Cricket South Africa. And it's a relationship that we need to nurture. And we had moved from a position, a relationship that is antagonistic, but to a relationship that is quite cognizant of the challenges that we're facing. But we are willing, and we're currently working together in the review of our cricket structures and in the review of our domestic system. We are continuing to repair that relationship. We are continuing to work very hard to ensure that that relationship works for cricket, not only for Cricket South Africa, not only for soccer, but for the cricket in this country as well. Jacques, can you deal with the matter of the T20, three-team cricket and broadcasting?
President, I will do so. The broadcasting rights currently has not been sold. It's a once-off event, hence it's a cost. We've made it available for SuperSport to pick up the cost, and we are in negotiations with SABC to see either delayed or highlight package so that we have optimal reach. We've also offered it to our international broadcasters. Unfortunately, broadcasting is sold on a four-year basis, and there's a budget for it, so there wouldn't be any uptake for this, and you then just end up with a cost, the production cost thereof, which SuperSport will pick up. But we are in negotiations to make sure that we do have a feed in some way to SABC, Chairperson, if that helps you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jacques. Then the other question that was asked was whether we receive funding from the Ministry of Sport, Recreation, Arts and Culture. The question is very, very relevant. But our answer is that we have a very good relationship with the ministry, with the officials, and they give us funding. But that funding that they give us, it's not a lot of money. If I'm not mistaken, the last time we received money, I think in the previous financial year, Jacques, was 2 million from the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture in the previous financial year. that there is a view, I'm not necessarily saying it is shared by the department, that cricket has enough money, and that view, unfortunately, is not necessarily correct. But we receive support as and when we receive, we require that support from the ministry. For instance, when we make our money when we're hosting games into the country, and the ministry will always assist us in ensuring that we get all the necessary support that we need on those matters. Jack, maybe you want to add something here because I need to recharge my battery.
Thank you, Chairperson.
I like that
President.
One.
Thank you for the opportunity. The benefits from Cricket South Africa is from the department itself as a relates to the benefits in terms of hosting events. We plan to bid for a number of ICC events, and the ministry will help us a lot with that. We did receive additional 500,000 designated for women's cricket from the department as well, Mr. President, and which we are very, very thankful for. Our women's team has done us proud, both in bilaterals and in the World Cup, and that is something I think that we need to build on. There was also a question referred to the 654 million rand loss during a previous presentation to the committee. That refers to the four-year cycle, our budgeting cycle, and that is correct. That has improved with about 100 and 120 to 150 million, depending on the adjustments currently, and we hope to also improve that situation. So it should be around 400 million rand as a loss over the 4 years. The cycle ends next year, and then the next four-year cycle will start. Chairperson, Mr. President.
Thank you, Jab. Then I will address the question that were asked by Honorable Madlingozi. Honorable Madlingozi is questioning whether we correct when we say street cricket is the game changer in the manner in which we're trying to reposition cricket and its competition. Indeed, Honorable Madlingozi, I remember when we were growing up, you play rugby on the street, you play soccer, play cricket. But what we're saying here now is different. Let me make an analogy with our KFC mini cricket program. That program is very important to cricket because that program has a massive reach, and you reach over 180,000 young kids to participate in that program. And with street cricket, we're trying to revive the interest in the game, and we're trying to make it part of everyday life of the youngsters at their own localities. So that the hope is immediately you revive that interest, and then you can translate it into more organized cricket. So that out of that bulk of youngsters playing cricket in the streets, then you are able to get out of that, you're able to develop interest, and then you translate it into organized cricket. This is born out of this kind of an experience, and we want to we're linking it with the other competitions that we are putting in place, and it is linked in this sense. We have focused, we found out when we analyze and go through all our competition structures, and we realize that we get almost everybody into cricket, and as they progress through the cricket pipeline, you find that there are people who should not necessarily be in the so-called semi-professional setup and then professional setup because their skill and talent is not at that level. These are the people that you could channel to go and play more club cricket and to go and play more social cricket so that you help to revive the interest at that level. And then you are able to get the best out of your mass program, so that you take this person and put them through talent acceleration programs, so that you are able to get now your top players. So our street cricket that we're talking about is intended to ensure that you rekindle and you sort of inject interest at the lowest level, and then out of that you channel that interest into organized cricket. Then the other question was, why did Standard Bank leave? Standard Bank's contract was expiring at the end of April 2020. And then Standard Bank engaged us and said that they would not want to renew their contract given the challenges that we went through during the period of November, December last year. And therefore, they did not surprise us because they talked to us, they engaged us on this. And I think their view was that they were not happy. And I could not expect them to be happy with the challenges and the crisis situation that we found ourselves in at the time. Then the other question was the names of the people that were brought before the disciplinary committee or disciplinary processes. Normally, as CSA, we do not divulge names of people that we are bringing before the DC. But we can do so because this has been an outcome, or there has been outcomes out of this. The CEO suspended three senior executives.
First of June. The report must be available, but the
job
point of order, Chair?
What is going on? No, Jabu, what is going on? We can't
I think it's lost connection. I'll try to find what's happening, yes. Chair. I think it's just lost connection.
Due to the charging of the battery.
Chairperson? Chairperson?
Yes, Honourable Ma'am.
We have the deputy president. We have the deputy president, and this can he respond to show that they're working together.
Okay. I'll try to find what's happening. The
Thank
you, Honourable
Chairperson.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Chair. The names of these officers that have been found guilty or have been charged are the Chief Operations Officer, Nasai Apia. Then it was the Acting Chief Financial Officer, Tiyanda Nkuta. Then it was the Sales Head, Commercial and Sales Head, Prime Exium. The fourth person was a junior person, was the Delene Nolan. And yeah, so those are the four key ones. Yeah. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Those are the four staff that have been suspended, and the disciplinary processes and outcomes have been confirmed. On the Chief Operations Officer, Mr. Nasai Apia, we are waiting on the outcome of the appeal hearing that should be provided very soon. Clive Exton has lodged his matter with the CCMA, and we're waiting on further particulars and details of when that matter will be heard. So at this point, that is an update around the staff members that were disciplined. The acting CEO, we are waiting for the report on that investigation, and soon we'll be in a position to take the necessary action regarding the suspended CEO. That is around the disciplinary matters, Honourable Chair.
Deputy President, you don't want to
take other remaining questions to answer. What did you know that is not yet answered when the president was answering the questions?
I think the key question that has come up repeatedly was around transformation. I think it's an issue around, was further raised around white coaches are dominant, and you know, the woman, lack of woman representation. I think I can just reconfirm that Cricket South Africa is totally committed to transformation. We have it as part of our key imperatives. You know, we, in terms of our change, the changing demand in the market, we are making every effort to ensure that we are sustainable, we are relevant and competitive. But in that, in terms of the cricket, our access and skills and capacity is critical. We're investing.
Strategically, we cannot hear the president and the deputy president. Strategically, answer my question.
I was expecting so the honourable members. I was expecting this week the deputy president, because there's something that is not on. Either he must switch off the video in order that you must hear him clearer, and seemingly double check even the president that you see back. Go on, deputy president, but you must be aware we can't hear you clearer. There's a noise, a background noise. Switch off your video and carry on.
Noted, Honourable Chair, my video has been off. Apologies for that. The noise is not this side, but I'll carry on. So as I was saying, that we will continue to drive our transformation agenda, and we are committed to that agenda to radically transform cricket. Women, again, I just want to highlight on the board, our vacancies have been filled by two women, highly qualified and skilled women. That has joined the board recently, and an additional non-independent vacancy was filled. I think in terms of our vacancies in the past 6 months has now been concluded, and we have a full operational board. And in those areas, our targeted areas have been covered. Further, I think the president has covered the issues around transformation. I know the one question was asked around criminal charges. Once the reports have been presented, the forensic reports, Cricket South Africa will look at our options in terms of whether criminal charges are needed. But we'll definitely apply our mind to take it, doing the right thing, and holding the individuals accountable for their actions. We've covered the gender matter, Chair. And then I think you've raised, as the Chair, Honourable Chair, has raised the issue around our delegation and women. I think at this point, one has communicated that we have an induction on at the moment, and they're participating in the induction. But we will continue to strive to meet those targets as it is cricket. I think, Chair, at this point, the press has covered the first round of questions in my mind.
Point of order, Chair. Point of order, Chair.
Before that, Honourable Mhlonga, I'm going to give you Jabu is president back. Jabu?
Not yet, Chairperson.
Okay, Mazo. Before Honourable Mhlongo we need a list of your, a composition of your board members. It must be emailed if you are not having it now. Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo.
Excuse me, Chair, the President is back.
Okay, the President.
Thank you, Chair. Okay. If the President is back, he must start with my questions. All of my questions were not answered. All of them. The President is back, he can respond.
Indeed, Chairperson, I'm back. I think I just had a technical glitch. The computer just rebooted. I'm not sure what questions Mr. Beresford has answered, but let me go back to what Honorable Mhlongo is saying, because he's saying that his questions are not answered. I will attempt to do so now, Honorable
Mhlongo. President, may I check? President, he was answering where you stopped
yes.
Of the mentioning of the names of
okay.
the suspended members. And he also gave us the confirmation that you are looking at a transformation and also the problem that you are not having a woman in your presentation. He said it's because today they are doing induction.
Yes.
You're supposed to take even one of the women. Not excuse of induction, but he responded like that. So
okay.
take the questions from Honorable Mhlongo and answer. Thank you, President.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Mhlongo, I will address your questions now. I'm sorry for that glitch. I think the first question that was asked was whether the processes of disciplining employees has it been fair? Has it been in terms of the legal prescripts of the country? Has it been in terms of our own disciplinary processes? The answer to that, Honorable Mhlongo, is yes. It has been very fair. That is why it has been taking such a long time. For instance, we ensured that all the disciplinary hearings are conducted by external people. We have no connection with Cricket South Africa. We appointed as a, what you'd call a prosecutor in the DC. We appointed an independent person to do that. The chairperson of the DCs, of the various DCs committees or hearings, they were independent of CSA. They were not connected with CSA. And the outcomes that they gave to us, we processed them in the manner in which they should be in terms of the laws of this country. So it was very, very fair. Then the second question that you asked as to whether there is a problem in the internal in the organization, because you said that there would be different statements made by the president or the acting CEO in the media. And you made reference to the forensic report that we are referring to. I'm not sure what would have been the other instances, but regarding the forensic report, we have not yet received the report. We are going to receive the first part of the report by today. And when that is received, it is going to go through the person who has been appointed by the Members' Council to receive that report. And then the other part of the report, the completed report, will be with us before the end of this month. And on any other instances, we have not shared or projected a different information to the public. In a manner that was intended by us, I would not be very sure as to what would be those instances. But on this one of the reports, we don't have the report yet. We'll get a first report and then we'll get a subsequent report thereafter. Then the other question that you asked is, why would Mr. Graham Smith, our director of cricket, say that he does not understand transformation? I'm not sure why he would say that. because Cricket South Africa has a transformation policy that determines all our activities. Even for instance, it would determine as to how many players and what would be the composition of the team that should take the field at a particular point in time. It would also, remember, we have targets in our system. In our domestic setup, in our professional cricket, we have certain targets. In the national team, we have targets. That is contained in CSA policy. And we allow, at the national setup, we allow flexibility. And we assess those targets on a season-by-season basis. But with our domestic setup, what we do each and every game, those targets must be met, and they are not flexible. I'm not sure why he would say that, because he had played himself in cricket for this country, and there were those rules, and we have currently a very clear process of implementation of targets in the system. Then also, you quoted or you made the reference to a statement that Mr. Smith made when he was addressing a press conference sometime, I think it would have been 2-3 weeks ago, where he expressed a particular preference for the chairpersonship of the ICC. If you recall, Mr. Mhlongo, I subsequently made a statement to try and not to contradict what he was saying, but to create certainty that at this stage, Cricket South Africa has not taken a position, because the nomination process has not yet been opened up by the ICC, and the ICC is still busy dealing with the process of how to put in place a process that will guide everybody for the nomination, the election of the ICC chairpersonship. And that process will be concluded at the ICC meeting next week, Thursday. And that was the explanation that I needed to do, so that we are very clear that the board of CSA, the members council at this stage, they have not made any decision as to say, in the event that there are candidates that are vying for the chairmanship of the ICC, who will CSA be supporting? So that mandate is given to the chairman of CSA board, who sits at the ICC level, to say, this is the mandate that is given by Cricket South Africa. Then your question number 4, Honorable Mhlongo, related to why was Thabang Moro at the office last week? Thabang Moro and his legal team are making an aversion that CSA has said Thabang will be suspended for a period of 6 months. And therefore, they calculated the 6 months from the 5th of December 2019 until the 5th of June 2020. When he came to the office, I was informed that he is at the office outside. At this stage, nobody is working from the office. Only security personnel are there. Because of the COVID-19 situation, everybody is working from home. Someone would go to the office for whatever they would want to get, but there's nobody. It was not closed on his account. It was closed because everybody is working from home. When I was informed, because it was very cold, I said he must be allowed into the perimeter of the building, but he did not get into the office. But his suspension letter is very clear. His suspension is linked to the outcome and the conclusion of the forensic investigation, so that at that point, then CSA could take a decision how to move and progress his situation. Then Project 654, I think the acting CEO has looked into this and spoken to this, but let me just give a bit of a context. Cricket, our we do what we call it's a four-year rolling budget. We don't budget for a single year. We budget for a year, but in a context of 4 years, because our income in terms of broadcast is linked to what we call the Future Tours program, where you have countries visiting you, where you visit countries, and that is given a period of 4 years, and then another 4 years, and then you have what is called a rights cycle. So our budgeting and our income, we level it off over a period of 4 years. The reason for that is when you play certain countries, you make a loss. If you play India, you play England, you play Australia, you internally, they come to us here in South Africa, and then you make a profit. But if you play the rest, you're making a loss. So what we do, if this year you play India, Australia, next year play Sri Lanka, West Indies, the loss that you make next year, you level it up with the income that and profit that you have made during the years where you had the money generating tours into the country. Project 654, therefore, in that context, we said if we don't do anything by the end of this right cycle, we would have lost an amount of 654 million rand. Therefore, we needed to plan for that. And the result is that we put this in project in place that whatever we do in our budgeting, in our operations, we must have this in mind that we need to ensure by the time the right cycle ends, we are in a positive situation, or at worst, in a breaking even budget situation. Hence, we had, therefore, Project 654, which now, as the CEO, acting CEO, has indicated that the projection is that we have decreased it by more than 200 million rand. So we are around about 400 million, and we continue to work on it. And we're hoping that by the end of this right cycle, we'll be in a very good position to have said that we mitigated the effects of Project 654 completely. Then there was a question. I'm not sure who the member was. I could not get the member's name, but that related to what are we doing in underprivileged schools in order to develop rural schools and also develop cricket. I think the answer that I gave that relates to the arrangement, the agreement that we have with the two ministries also seeks to answer that, and also that we're trying to incorporate schools in our hubs, we also seek to have partnerships with the municipalities at district level as well as even at local level, and our affiliates are entering in those partnerships. We understand in South Africa that spending money in sport is not a priority, especially for government. There are other competing realities and priorities. But we do our best to try and build partnerships in order to be able to ensure that sport is developed in those rural schools. The other issue that we needed to address is how to ensure that you have access. And then when you identify a talent, then you nurture that talent. Hence, we have these bursary schemes that we have, especially with the Willowton Group, which uses their brand name Sanfoil, where we have bursaries that we afford to learners in the rural area so that they can go to universities and colleges to have a better chance of coaching. Excuse the chair. Then the next question, I think these are questions that were asked by Honorable Adams relating to the EPG. Honorable Adams, we are also not happy because you look at the target that we have not met the Black African targets in our especially in the past year that was under review and the previous one, because we are trying to be flexible at a national level to say we measure performance and achievement of targets over a season, and then in the lower ranks we measure that match by match. We are also not happy, and the plan, one of the things that we have said, we have a high performance center, and the high performance center must give us scientific interventions so that we are able to address the areas where we seem to be lacking. One of such areas is Black African batters in the system, and the high performance center needs to address that. And there are a number of initiatives that they are putting in place to address these areas. This is an area that does not make us happy. This is an area that we need to have a very rigorous plan to ensure that it happens. It is linked again to the apartheid geography that you find in South Africa, where if you grew up in an affluent, rich society or rich neighborhood, you are likely to have better facilities in the schools that are there, in the clubs that are there. But if you grow up in a disadvantaged environment, you are likely to have worse facilities. And therefore, your development of a player in terms of the techniques and stuff like that, that grows in that poor environment, and the one that grows in that affluent environment, their development is not going to be on par, because facilities play a very, very important part. Let me give an example. If I grow up playing cricket on a concrete pitch.
President, we are left with 30 minutes. President, we are left with 30 minutes, and we still want that the minister must chip in. And
okay,
then I'm not even sure whether the members, they don't want a follow-up questions. You must try to be faster.
I will do that. Okay, sorry, Chairperson. There are only four questions that I'll deal with. Then the critical one is that the state of franchise in cricket, of franchise cricket in non-metro areas. Unfortunately, Chair, the issue is more economic than anything else. The current system that we have of franchise cricket is also not self-sustaining. When it was introduced in 2003, after 2003, the view was that these cricket structures or these cricket teams will generate their own funding to develop cricket in their areas, and then they will be self-sustaining. So that matter relates largely to issues of economic affordability, and hence we are trying to partner with municipalities so that municipalities also invest in these teams so that they grow them. I think, Chair, I think that would conclude the questions that I had noted, unless Beresford has other questions that he might have noted, which I have not noted. Other than that, Chair, I think that concludes the
Thank you. Honourable members, In their responses, the president, the CEO, acting CEO, the deputy president, one of them confirmed that they are in good relations with the department. Whilst we agree, because they were supposed to, but I wanted to check how did they present this issue that is haunting us of its transformation if they are in good terms with the department. But Honorable Msongo, I do see your hand. I wanted that at this point in time, Minister, we must give him some few minutes to talk to us, because at 3 o'clock he's going somewhere. and would love, especially the cricket is under this department also. Please, honourable members, with due respect, honourable Mhlongo, can you give the minister to chip in? I thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks, honourable members. The president of CSA and everybody. Firstly, Chair, I think we need to make this point that the EPG in its barometer process did find progress or see progress on transformation program. I hope at some point with cricket in particular, at some point we'll have a discussion about the EPG for 2018-2019. And I think we must underscore that point and observe it because I think it's important to do so. Now, on the issues at hand, firstly, there is an issue about the school sport, because EPG does raise the point that out of 25,000 schools, you have about 10% which are having sport. And physical training. So we did make a point after the outcome of the EPG that we will go back to the drawing board as government, and that is the Department of Basic Education and ourselves. Whilst on development, because that's mainly a development, whilst on that chair, we had the president did allude to the fact that there's 300 million rands they put aside for development, and in the process the people or athletes get to disappear in the system when they go to institutions of higher learning like TVET colleges and so on and so forth. But I think we need to visit this question because if this is what we have been doing over a period of time, the issue would be where the black African players on the field. because if we don't confront that and don't follow through the very disappearance which is being raised here of people who are being trained, developed, and at the same time they are lost to the system. It means something needs to be done. One, to track that, but also do everything to respond to this question. What happened to the African players? Where are they? You know, with everything you have within rugby, but you talk of a Sia, you talk of a Mbonambi, you talk of a Mapimbi, and so on and so forth. So that's one area. Secondly, Chair, the 2 million, maybe the president, they have a lot of money, they forget. The 2 million which we give to priority sport, with cricket, we added with the 3 million development intervention like what he referred to, which is cricket hubs. And I think that must be recorded, that it's not only 2 million, but there is this 3 million specifically for this purpose. I have heard the issue about frankly speaking, Chair, I think President as somebody responsible for this portfolio, I felt insulted with your intervention when you said you only take people on merit. Now, when we talk of cricket and going to the heart, to the core, you look at the CEO, you look at the director, you look at the coach, you'll find the deputy being in Africa, you look at the batting specialist, and you come and say to the nation, no, there's nothing wrong, there's no regress in transfer. I feel particularly insulted with that kind of statement, because what it says to me, it says that there is a particular posture which is being taken, that you'll have people, Africans elsewhere in other areas, which are not the core. There is no core besides this. As I said, that I'm talking of a key five, top five, and it's one, and that person is a deputy to the coach. So I'm raising that just to make a point that I'm not going to be smiling to that kind of a statement. Does it mean that after 26 years, there hasn't been anybody who would be able to fill at least one of the of these positions? The only people with merit are only white. I take exception definitely to that. Now, just another correction. You did come to us, and we are working with you as cricket very well, and you were correct on that. But your request of the 27 is being processed, has not been approved yet. There are things we need to do. Consultation are still on, especially the Department of Health, and I understand people are being tested, and they would want the details of that. If there's an indication of any player who's positive, would want that. So we are processing it. So it mustn't be put as if it's been approved, because it will pass here if it's approved. The goodwill, yes, is there from ourselves. We've showed that throughout the process, that goodwill. Fundamentally, Chair, as I conclude, there are two issues at hand here. With the outcomes of EPG, I'm happy to always make people happy if there's progress. But you always have fear that there should be no regress. Now, if you see signs of regress and you are told, no, it's nothing, it's just an imagination on your side, it's a big problem. There are two fundamental issues we are dealing with here. One is the issue of development, which government also has a role to play, which sporting codes have a role to play, including coming out clearly on this 300 million thing. It can't be accepted. So it's like, look, we are developing people, we put 300 million rands, but you won't see them on the pitch. So it's development. The second area, and I did say on development that the MOU with the Department of Basic Education is going to be revisited, because we also as government must answer a question, is this tool working? So that's the first one. The second
one is the will. I think public representatives should disabuse themselves in a process of being managed. There has to be an iron will to transform. It shouldn't be malicious compliance that no, we're doing it now, tomorrow, even if things go back and so on. So, Chair, we met with CSA last year when there was this thing of the suspension of the CEO, and we're told that well, CEO has done something. We don't know. We'll wait for the process. If you like, the matter is sub judice. But I did make a point. I did make a point that if you have a board and then the sins which emanate out of the work and the operations is that are then the sins of a CEO. In fact, it's not only the CEO, it's the CFO, it's the COO, if I'm not mistaken, and all of them are Africans. And it's a curious thing. So if they are involved in wrongdoing, they must face the full might of the law. But it's just a curious thing to say that here we are, there is a visible movement, there is a visible change, but we need to be happy and say no, we are seeing things, there is nothing wrong. So I want to leave it at that, Chair, that with the sporting codes, we are still, especially after the outcome last week of the EPG, we are still going to be engaging with all of them, including Cricket South Africa. But what I've said about the developments, I want to underline that I think the signs we are seeing are not good signs, and this must be confronted. Worse when you are going to have people who are charged with the responsibility. I heard the president trying to speak on somebody else's behalf and so on, but a person tells you that as far as it's concerned, transformation is nothing, basically. Part of the problem from the charter in 2011 to the barometer, which we are dealing with now, is that generally in sport, in general terms, with the charter, it was one size fits all and open-ended and so on. With the barometer, we are not going to excuse people because it's done with the sporting bodies. So if we together with you agree on a particular, and this is not referring to CSA at this moment, agree on a particular target, and we are part of that, you are leading on that, and yet you don't fulfill that, it can't be excused. But I think that we are going to work, do our bit ourselves, like you are doing your work, Chairperson, and the portfolio committee. But the signs are not something which I hope it's a dream, you know, it's a nightmare which is going to go away, but it can't be left. Not in 2020. Not in 2020, and there's no other way of sugarcoating what you are faced with. We are committed to transformation, and we want to see it happening, and we want to see everybody playing his role. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable the Minister. Sometimes it does help
when we are calling anyone to come in account. In the presentation, we've seen 5 million from the department. But thank you to come out of your busy schedule. Sometimes we do take apologies, but if sometimes you know that you have a space, please join us every now and then. Thank you so much. Honorable Mazingos and Honorable Mhlongo, they are having follow-up. Thank you so much, Minister. You are excused.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you. The cultural respect starts from our language and names. And Mr. Senzani chose not to deal with that or even to hear that aspect. And how can we be led by a leader who is not proud of his surname or his language? And it starts from there. And another thing was like the Standard Bank withdrawal from the Cricket SA. He is saying that there were challenges over there, and he's not saying what are those challenges. And I've just realized that Mr. Senzani is not answering specific questions, but he's just generalizing in everything. And how can we have only 4 to 5 players within a club as if our demographics are like 50-50 with black and white? I don't understand why. And Mr. Senzani is keeping on saying that cricket is an expensive sport, as if it is only for rich people, mainly the white people. And I don't understand that why he's still talking about the street cricket. But when it was done, because our kids, or like we were kids then, that we were playing cricket in the street, and it wasn't like something that we wanted to do, but we had to have those spaces, and our kids will be playing in the street, and it's dangerous for them. I am doing that, and we cannot perpetuate this poverty-stricken situation that we have as a people. So can we just get rid of these street cricket, and because they're wasting money, and the committee needs to inculcate Afrocentric development within the sport. I don't think Mr. Zani is the right person to do this. Thank you, Chair.
May I correct you? The president of the Cricket South Africa is Mr. Nenzani. Even yourself, you don't call him accordingly.
Apologies. Nenzani.
I'm apologizing for everyone who has done that, even your good self. Honorable Mhlongo.
Ngiyabonga, Chairperson. Chairperson, abaphendulanga umbuzo wami ngithe, what is the board plan? Should they find out that they did not exercise their duties properly regarding Otabang? Another question, this serious allegation regarding the conflict of interest amongst board members, did they take any step? Did they resign? When did they resign? Those questions were not answered. But I wanted to highlight what the minister was saying. The barometer, the EPG is not working. For the past 26 years, it has never worked. You cannot give someone to measure himself or to set target for himself. You cannot do that. It's not working. It's not going to work. Another issue that I want to tell the minister, we've been reviewing the MOU between the education and sports. There's no action. I wonder if he's saying this say it will work. How many times did we do that? Now, above all, it is shocking that the department did not approve the event that the CSA has advertised already. It is really shocking. Thank you, Chair, for now.
You know, honorable members, it's nice to have a committee who's doing its oversight. But as Minister said, we are going to do this oversight irrespective of what. Can I give the president, and before honorable members, immediately that president responded, I have just two issues
that I will share with the committee members. I thank you, the president. Because even just mute the president or deputy president or the CEO, acting CEO, that's your time. We don't have time. We have left with 5 minutes whilst we are still going to finalize issues of the committee. Where are they, Zoe? Where are they, our visitors?
I'm here, Chairperson.
Oh, please.
When you're speaking, I...
Yes, President. Okay. Okay, President.
Chair, let me start. I won't take much of your time, Chair. We note what the Minister has said, especially as to the question that where are Black African players? You know, in the system, you have people, and you have to ensure that people fall in line with the policies of the organization. For instance, we're saying that in a team, there has to be a minimum of 3 Black African players in our first class cricket. And most of the time, that becomes a maximum. Instead of a minimum, it becomes a maximum. Because you need to change people's mind, and you need to ensure that you make them to implement what needs to be done. It's a big issue that we're dealing with, because you also need to talk about opportunity, quality of opportunity. If you select an opening batsman, then he must open the batting in the team. He cannot come and bat at number 7, number 8, whereas he's an opening batsman. So those are the dynamics and nuances that take place within the implementation of the transformation, and we are not proud as an organization about that. And to come to the issue of the conflict of interest in the board, and what will happen to the board once the investigation comes is through, and the sort of fingers that the board would have made certain decisions that are not right. The Members' Council is the owner of that report. The Members' Council elects the board. Therefore, the Members' Council will have to decide what they do with the board, one, if there are any issues that are fingering the board in terms of the board having failed in its responsibility. And board members, as directors in good standing, will have to take a responsibility for that. The issue of Honorable Madlingozi, the issue of street cricket, I think he needs to give that idea a chance and see how it turns out. It's not necessarily what he's thinking it's going to be, but this is an issue to galvanize communities towards the game of cricket, so that this game becomes a truly national sport of winners. I will stop there, Chairperson, because I don't want to take much of your time.
Thank you, President, but I'm suspecting that you have noted once you are responding that it's the majority of the board will taking the decision. We have noted all your members of committee and even the ministry about the majority in that board and those who are going to take a decision. Let's say thank you for the presentation, that you were just transparent and you are hearing us that the way forward is go back to the drawing board in order that we must be having one understanding. I don't want even to repeat what honorable members said and what the minister is saying. We don't want to be crying babies. We want to leave this portfolio committee with integrity, with our work, saying that we've changed these sporting codes, including yours. By this, honorable members, can I allow that, let's say thank you so much, but not any longer that you come here with the delegation without a gender sensitive. You are supposed, Jeff, one of you, to leave behind in that induction and put one member who maybe you work with, in order that he must have a right to interact with the committee. If you are working as a collective, no one cannot come and answer the question, especially that the president is here, especially that the acting CEO is here. We're supposed to have one person, especially from the women. So by those words, honorable members, let me take this opportunity to say, President, if you want to say something, the meeting up here, we have said something, I'm going to close it and solve some few issues with the committee. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We appreciate the opportunity and we've taken your instruction. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, can we release the key visitors, Jabu and Zoleka? Now, I want to share this thing, honorable members. That's why I wanted that we must have our share minutes with the committee. It come to the understanding and of the committee that one of your administrator, which is Dr. Mahlobo, wanted to tell us what he has done in between the work of the committee. He's saying to us, because I don't know whether he's online, but he's supposed to be in the line. To be in the line, Dr. Mahlobo has written a book called 44 Young Leaders in commemoration of 16 June 1976. The book will be launched 18 July 2020. Let's support our young people when they are doing well to change our country. And then the one administrator, a researcher wanted me to give her a space to say something to us as honorable members. To you, administrators of ours.
Okay, good afternoon, members. Me the opportunity to talk to the members shortly. I will not take long, it will only be a few seconds. Members, I'm going to send an email to all the members. I've done it before, but I'm going to resend the email. It's just a small study that we are doing from the research unit to try and understand how we can assist members better. So it's only seven questions that I'll be sending that will be attached to the email. All you just need to do is just respond to the questions that I send. They are straightforward questions. It's asking about your IT support system that you have in place. How would you like to receive your research brief, whether it's hard copies or electronic format and so on. So the questions, I will send them immediately after the meeting, and then the members can respond to me directly. So that's about it, Chair. Thank you. Thank you very much, members.
Is Honorable Mahlobo want to say something, Dr. Mahlobo? Okay. Dr. Mahlobo? I've seen Honorable Mchongo. Yes, Honorable Mchongo.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I wanted to find out, when are we going to have our minutes, all previous minutes? minutes of all previous minutes. And Chair, when are we going to have Mr. Nyatela, WESA committee? And lastly, I'll propose, Chair, that we must have a full report of 150, the final report, because the relief fund, people are still crying even today, they did not receive their money. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mhlongo, you know that we've adopted the program of this committee. I'm not having any problem about 150 million cost. We're not yet having the final word. But if I can tell you on a direction from you, so many individual communities, leaders, as a committee, as individuals. So when we look at the program of the committee, we're not even having a chance of adopting our minutes. So we have program which we've adopted. So I'll sit down with them, the management, but I must tell you, honorable members, as I'm sitting here, honorable Madingosi, he knows every member who has been given a hearing to a department, some they are going to a president, and then department presidency, presidents refer to a department, and then they will come back to a committee. And it's just like that. We need to manage this in order that at the end of our term of having a program. I'm not saying you must not take those people, but there are so many. And others, when I was looking, I've seen that others are supposed to be belonging somewhere in order that those people, they must present themselves. But if twice and thrice and fourth you went to a president and refer you back to the ministry, as I'm sitting here, honorable members, I responded to it to myself. As I'm sitting here chairing this meeting, I'm seeing so many SMS of one person, but I took a decision, honorable members, that I've presented you according to the responses, because they forwarded the information, and I look at their information. I look in all information. One other time, this member, he'd come in a committee, honorable Mandingosi was very critical on him, and I do research with my research people and the what is Omahlobo. So I've responded according to that, because if all of them as individuals, they can come to the committee to complain once they have got a right. But we must be very careful, honorable members. I do hear honorable Mhlongo. One other time, honorable Mr. Nyatela was in the committee meeting, and he didn't do what he's doing every day to forward it to all members, to forward it to DG, to forward it to minister. But when we are looking, he has been given chance to talk. That white paper, honorable members, is going to assist us. When what I'm looking immediately that some members are no longer getting what they have been getting, they are coming back and fighting. One other time, Mr. Nyatela swearing at me as new chairperson, we're not even having a know-how of this department. Note taken, honorable Mhlongo, and we'll relook. But really, in minutes, they suppose in the next meeting that we must present it. Thank you, honorable members. We need to work as we're doing as a collective. I'm appreciating what we're doing at this committee. Thank you, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.